I won't take long tonight. I want to minister to you. I kind of stuck it on Facebook. This is a miracle service. So I see the regulars here. I didn't see. I invited the community. Nobody's coming. But how many know if you put God on the spot, he'll show up? Put God on the spot, he'll show up. And you never know when God is going to touch you. So tonight I want to talk just a few minutes about the title of the message I want to bring tonight is According to Your Faith. According to Your Faith. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 tonight. Matthew chapter 9, first book in the New Testament. Matthew 9 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you would anoint your word, God, set the captives free tonight. Anything that's hindering healing or deliverance, we bind right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that we're not going to be the same as we came in. We're going to be leaving differently. People are going to be set free from old habits, addictions, Lord, healings in their body. In the name of Jesus, increase our faith tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. You'll notice a couple things here. It did not say these men were followers of the way. They were not following Christ. It did not say that they were, there weren't any Christians at that time. It didn't say that they were believers of any kind. It just simply says, two blind men crying out, says, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he asked them one question. He said, Do you believe? What was their answer? Yes. Yes, Lord. Two words. And they were never the same again. Jesus touched them and they were changed. In the realm of the spirit, there's something that lies at the door of our spirit, man. And that is faith. Everything in the kingdom is accessed by it, and without it, nothing can be attained. If we believe, God will do it, be it according to your faith. Before the miracle, there is the belief. Releasing our belief, no matter how many times you come. People come to me and they say, Well, I've been praying all this time, and it hasn't happened. My answer to them is pretty normal. I say the same thing every time. Keep praying. Keep praying. We get so corrective sometimes with people. We say, well, is there sin in your life? Is there something? No, all of that, I mean, if there is, take care of it. If there's sin in your life, take care of it. But otherwise, keep praying. You never know when God is going to take what you're asking. I wish it happened quickly. I wish it happened every time quickly. And I believe it can and it should. And it does sometimes, but not all the time. Doing a checkup before prayer is wise, and we should not be critical of this important step. We should ask ourselves, are we going to believe when we get prayer? Or when we ask, do we actually believe that God can do what we're asking? Matthew chapter 8, if you'll turn there, Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8, back one chapter. And verse 6. Verse 5 says, Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Now it's very interesting that what was being done for him. He was well, he was healthy, but God said, because you've asked me, Jesus said, because you've asked me, it will be done for you. The servant was healed because of the centurion's faith. Doesn't say anything about the servant's faith. Servant was lying at home near dead. Jesus said, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So there's a call for us to believe when we ask, and there's nothing wrong with doing a checkup from the neck up. Make sure our brain is in touch with our spirit man. Make sure what comes out of our mouth is faith. When we get prayer, we don't go back and go through the same thing. As soon as we're prayed for, we go back. Before we even leave the building, sometimes the enemy already has us done. Well, it's not going to happen today. It didn't happen right away. Stand on the Word of God. The same God that brought the plagues and freed the Israelites is here. The same God that parted the Red Sea is here. The same God that fed 5,000 is here. The same God that raised Lazarus from the dead is here. See? Jesus answered in Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Turn there. Matthew chapter 15. And we'll see another time when Jesus. Matthew chapter 15. Am I in the right place? Matthew chapter 15, 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What a thing to say. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And I want you to notice that the woman was from Canaan, part of the Canaanites. Wasn't a believer. Heard about Jesus, came to him. O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Come on, somebody. Faith. 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 Faith in believing that God is able to do. Is it God's will to heal?
Yes.
I get so angry when I hear people say, maybe it's not God's will. Don't even bother praying then. I want to say, just don't even bother praying then. And I've experienced instantaneous healing. First time I experienced instantaneous healing was when I was first saved. I told the story. I dropped a 12-inch block on my foot, on my toe. How many know what a 12-inch block is? It's big. It's not the normal cement block. It's the one bigger. I was walking across the ditch, and I fell, and that thing hit my toe, and I didn't have steel toes on. I wished immediately that I did, because it broke. And I mean, it swelled huge. And I could hardly walk the rest of the day. I got home, took my shoe and sock off. Terry and I were just, I don't know, we were fresh. couple months old in the Lord. We didn't know. But we had heard that Jesus heals. So my wife laid hands on my foot and prayed. And I got up the next morning and still swelled. And I put my shoe on and my work boot. And I was limping and I could hardly, but I had to go to work because how many know? You know, you're going to get paid for staying at home. And so I went to work and we had these little Bread of Life stickers. The things in the little bread thing, have you ever seen them? Anyway, so she pulled one of those out, put them in my lunchbox every day. And so that day, Isaiah 53, your healing will, or Isaiah 54, 53, your healing will spring forth speedily. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting, eating my sandwich, drinking a cup of coffee, and I pulled that out, your healing will spring forth speedily. And I said, God, I accept your healing. And I got up from there, and I was walking over to get started back to work, and my boss said, you've been farming it out all morning, haven't you? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I don't see you limping anymore. And I went, no, I guess it's better. And he made fun of me and mocked me and that kind of thing. You know, I didn't think too much about it. I got off work that night and came home, took my shoe and sock off, and there wasn't a mark on my foot. Hallelujah. Not even a little scab, bruise, nothing. It was, as a matter of fact, I was so just flabbergasted, I took my other shoe and sock off just to make sure it was the right foot. So it was completely healed. And then just after that, my little girl, Sarah, she was a little, and I was up on a ladder cleaning our windows. We lived on a second floor apartment. She was over there playing with me, and I was goofing around. And I reached in to get a rag to continue wiping the windows. It's big wooden, the old wooden windows. And it came down on her fingers, all eight of them. Bam, I mean, it slammed. And immediately, you can imagine, she started screaming. Down off the ladder I came, up the steps I went, and we just watched her hand swell right before our eyes, just swollen. Am I lying? It's true. And so we just laid hands on her, and we said, Lord, heal her now in Jesus' name. And not even 2 minutes later, there wasn't a mark on her hands. We were like, well, this stuff works, you know. Went to church, gave testimony the next, you know, I think it was a Saturday, and the next morning went and gave testimony. We could hardly talk. Now, I said all that to say this. I've had the other side of waiting 20 years for healing. Had stuff on my body that I was believing God to heal was 20 years. And that was a short amount of time because it's been 54 years. And God last Sunday before last, not Father's Day, but the Sunday before last, just came. I was sitting right there where Terry is. He says, okay, I'll take this, and just lifted it off me. So whether it's immediate healing or whether it's long time healing, God is our healer. Amen. God is our healer. Why does the time not work? Like we, you know, we read the word Jesus and healed and things, and why doesn't it work that way? I don't know. You know, I've been doing this long enough. The wisest thing sometimes we can say is, I don't know. But that doesn't stop me from laying hands on and cursing things and believing in healings. And it's going to happen. See? There are always battles. And we must show up and fight them. It doesn't come easy. The enemy is not yet chained in the lake of fire. He's allowed to roam, and he's allowed to speak to us, and he does. Mark chapter 10. And here I want to get into just a little bit of thing there. I hope I can minister to somebody. I really felt to spend just a few minutes on this. Mark chapter 10. verse 46, Jericho. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, I want you to underline that circle. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Jesus said to him, watch. He said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now there's a couple things I want to spend just a couple minutes on. And that is, one of the things is Bartimaeus refused to shut up. When you're believing God to touch your life, whether it be physical healing, mental healing, relationships, whatever it is, don't shut up. Keep praying. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. You say, "I've been doing it for years." Tough. Tough. Keep doing it. Don't stop praying. You say, "Well, why isn't?" I don't know why it's not. If there's known sin, get rid of it. If there's something you need to get rid of, get rid of it. Don't stop praying. But he was not going to stop. He shouted. That's the first thing he did. He shouted, and they told him to be quiet, and he kept shouting anyway. And then you'll notice that whenever Jesus stood and said, "Call him," Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they said, "Go." And throwing aside his garment, I've talked about this before, but blind Bartimaeus had a cover that was issued by Rome. He was a beggar, and if you were blind, you had one kind of blanket. If you were lame, you had another kind of blanket. It was all color-coded. And that was his identity for Lord knows how long. I'm going to get a little bit persnickety on you. Is sometimes we have a sickness for so long we identify with it. And we say, if it's gone, where are my identities going to be? Will people still love me? Will I still have attention drawn to me? Will I still have... And we become somewhat of a Stockholm syndrome. Are you there? Don't shut off on me. Let me talk to you. I know whereof I speak. Very hard for me to give testimony about this thing that God took, because not anybody, hardly anybody knew it. I don't think anybody except my wife. I don't think I've talked to anybody about it, have I? I don't think so. But when I was 10 years old, I had hot water right off the stove poured on me, and had third-degree burns. And during that time, my house was rough. It had a lot of rough things in the home. And I had about 4 weeks of hiding in the house until I was able to walk again. I was in a bed, and I had to have the scabs pulled off of me every couple of days. Never went to the hospital. Never saw a doctor. And because of that, fear gripped me, and I started having panic attacks. And I got so nervous holding a piece of paper, I wasn't even able to do it. It was like this. I was a mess. I was a wreck. And as I got older, when I was in school, I was so afraid I would go to my teachers and say, "Please don't call me to the board. Please don't make me go up front at all. I'll do whatever. I'll do extra work. I'm asking you to please do that." And a couple times the teachers forgot, I almost died from fear. I mean, I'd have panic attacks. I couldn't breathe. I mean, when I started dating Terry, I could not eat with family. I could not sit down and eat with anybody. I was so afraid, terrified. I couldn't hold anything in front of everybody. I'd tremble and drop things. And then I'd go into a panic attack. And at the same time, I was a musician, so try that on for size. I tried out for the U.S. Army band, and I had to go in for auditions. And I started to self-medicate. So I started to eat Valium like most people eat candy. And I get so numb, I had to look and make sure the mouthpiece was on my lips. I couldn't feel it, so I'd have to make sure it was there and then play. And I won all kinds of awards and all kinds of things. But the overcoming was almost too much for me to bear. And so then I got saved, and the thing was still there. I mean, when God called me to preach, man, I can get up and preach to 35,000 people, and if I'm in a room with 10 people, I get a panic attack. I have to go in the other room and get myself together. Still today, up till 2 weeks ago. That's true. I have to go to my office and get a grip. And shame and embarrassment that went with that is just untold. I can't even tell you. Can't even tell you what I fought. And so after I got saved, instead of self-medicating with Valium, I started self-medicating with chocolate and sugar and meats and anything I could get in my mouth. And I gained up to, I weighed 365 pounds. That's how I medicated. I'd get nervous, I'd eat. I'd have a panic attack, I'd eat. It made me feel better. And I won over that for the most part, but it still gripped me all the time, as recent as 2 weeks ago. Scared to death. Sometimes just have panic attack and my jaw locks up and I can't, you know, and I would pray, I would fast, I'd say, God, I'd go up for prayer every time and it didn't happen. And I was just sitting there minding my own business. And God came over and said, okay, I'll take this now. Lifted it right off me. I haven't slept as well these last 2 weeks. I'm sleeping all night. I'm blessed. Come on, somebody. 54 years. But God is faithful. And I can't even tell you the things I learned through all that, because most people didn't know. Most people didn't know what I had to overcome. That's why when I told my wife God called me to preach, she said, you better go back and pray some more. She did. Without the anointing, I would be done. You talk about the anointing is so precious to me, because I've had to face some. I mean, how many know whenever you're ready to preach and you get a panic attack, there ain't nobody. I mean, you can't tag team. You got to get up and preach. So I thank God for the anointing. Three obstacles to the glory of God in healing and meeting your need. Number one is what I just talked about, fear. Fear is the number one deterrent. It sets us back from God's promises. The seed of doubt must not be allowed to take root in us. We must fight. We must resist. Fear does not come from the Lord. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we must resist. And the resistance, sometimes the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. I had a panic attack when I was in Pakistan. Was teaching. A group of leaders had a panic attack and there was no getting out of it. I had to do it. You talk about fighting through. I'd be preaching and praying in tongues at the same time, trying to get over the thing. I was like just about passed out standing in front of people. But the seed of doubt must not be allowed to take root. Resistance is called for. We've got to fight. We have all authority over the devil. We have all authority over the devil. And the things that are about to happen and are happening in our church shows us that we have authority. But there are going to be people coming in here that have serious problems. And we've got to be strong enough to not let demons overcome us. Fear that we'll be treated differently and more will be expected of us. I talked about it just for a minute, but the Stockholm Syndrome can be very real. We take sides with the thing that we're trying to overcome. We get an idea in our head that God's not going to answer the prayer, so we've got to live with it. Don't ever get that place. If you do, ask somebody to hit you upside the head with the Bible. Don't ever get to that place where you say it's not possible. All things are possible for God. We need to get to a place where the psalmist says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to believe. I'm not going to believe the devil's lies. See? There are statistics for everything. Everybody, you know, people have an easy answer. You know, I laugh at people sometimes. You know, you're believing for healing and somebody comes and says, well, you got sin in your life. You know, you don't believe. Maybe you're not saved. People love to fill other people with the facts. The truth is one thing that will make us free. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Faith doesn't get rid of facts. It overcomes them. You can't tell me God's not on my side. In the times, personally, what I had to deal with and overcome, day after day after day, I had to overcome. And God allowed me to overcome every time. Why didn't the attack stop? I don't know. But I overcame and I became powerful in the Spirit. Became powerful in the Spirit. Man, I'm able to face demons. When I went to India, I faced some hairy demons. First time I was in India. Scared out of my mind. Overcame fear. Thrust into a place where I began to find. And it began to show me that I could win. Not because of me, but because of the God that's in me. Satan will not give up until authority is exercised. He'll not give up. He'll keep coming. 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 And from the days of John the Baptist, Jesus said, until now the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So we get rid of fear. We get rid of the facts. We overcome the facts. And the third thing is we fight. We fight. And when you fight, you're fighting to win. You already have the victory. Watch what it says in 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We overcome fear. We overcome the facts. We overcome the facts and we fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But you, O man of God, 11, verse 11. You, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. What commandment? Fight the good fight. This is not a suggestion. This is not Paul cheering Timothy on and patting his back. You can do it. It's a command from heaven. Fight the good fight. Stand and believe that God is going to answer your prayer. Can I guarantee it's going to happen tonight? I cannot guarantee that. But I'll believe with you. I'll believe with you. When I get visions of God, I get vision. I don't know what you get. I get visions of His face, the glory of His presence, the throne room and the emerald and the jasper and all of that. And I look and God is a spirit. So I'm looking at Jesus and He's beautiful and He's got the eyes of fire and the bronze and stuff. And I look on His wrist and I do not see a wristwatch. I've never seen a wristwatch on Jesus. He doesn't share His timing with us. I don't know why. It was the most beautiful thing in the world when I was sitting here and God says, okay, I'll take that anxiety from you. I'll take that panic from you. Boom, here it is. It pulled it out and it was like I had this great big hole in me. I went, man, that's pretty cool. And all the years of struggling just went away. Just went away. I mean, if you'd asked me prior to that, are you struggling? I'd say, yeah, I'm struggling. Nobody knows what struggle I went. Nobody. But my wife, nobody knows. And I'm not trying to say, woe is me, because I didn't complain. Never told anybody. As a matter of fact, I was ashamed to tell anybody. Flee worldly pursuits. Don't look at the things through the lens of the world. The world will condemn you. The world will say it can never happen. I mean, look at this young man we talked about earlier this evening. Look where he's sitting. 6 weeks ago, nobody to give him a snowball's chance in hell. Come on, somebody. There ain't no way Brandon's going to be serving God, man. He's so far away from God. Look what he did. Is there anything too difficult? See, flee the worldly pursuits. Fight through to the victory. You are no longer an earth person. If you're a believer, you are no longer earth people. We don't think, we don't walk, we don't talk, we don't act like the world. But we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Paul says, I bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that your faith, that you will know the height, the depth, the width, the length, the love of God our Father, which surpasses knowledge. That's where we need to be. That's the people that we are. Your keeping of this commandment will assure the victory. He says that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. So we have some things to overcome tonight. We take authority over fear, over facts, and we fight the good fight of faith. And I encourage you, that thing that you prayed for all this time, that you might have been praying for a long time, that you might continue to pray for a long time. I've got no guarantees, but I can tell you, I think God set me free from that so other people don't have to go through it. I think maybe I have a key to be able to get that thing and get it out of you. That's what I think. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, because I live here. I live in me. So I know that for me to say that is, because if you asked me before, I'd say, I don't know. But we don't have to put up with that stuff. We do not have to put up with the attack of the enemy. We can overcome. Don't let the enemy put you in a trap. Yeah, you don't want to get in a trap. You ever hear of a man called Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth, a year and a half, could not get out of bed. They carried his bed up on the platform to pray for people, and people were healed instantly. And they carried him back. He himself was laying in bed, couldn't get up out of bed. And people were healed, and they'd carry him back off the platform. He wasn't healed, but everybody he prayed for was healed. Don't let the devil get you in a trap. But we'll believe for a healing tonight. I believe that God wants to heal you. Don't let the enemy get you in a trap. That's all I'm saying. God's not going to punish you unless there's some unknown sin, unless you're going home and tying cats together and throwing them over the clothesline or something. Yeah. I don't know if anything like that. No, I don't want to be facetious about it, but yeah. Don't let the enemy get you in a trap, because God can heal through prayers of faith. He does heal through prayers of faith, so you pray for other people. But I believe God wants to heal you. Yes. I believe God wants to heal you. Set you free from that. Amen. Because that's my God. Can you play that music?